You are trying to put your car in the same place where I am putting my car. We can't do this. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only person just driving a car in this city. Every single car that I can see. Oh, okay, there's one that's an exception. Two that's an exception. I'm stuck in traffic here, and all the cars surrounding me have Uber stickers in their back window. Three of them in a row there, and all of them trying to pull bullshit fucking lane change moves at the last possible moment. Yep. Oh, you fucking suck. Yeah, you just, yeah, sure, all right. Get out there and block this intersection some more. How do Uber drivers feel about other Uber drivers? I don't know. I mean, they're all dispatched by app, right? So it's not like they're competing for fares. Like it's not like they need to be noticed by people standing there to try and make money, right? Like they just turn on the app and then it tells them where to pick people up. So. So I'm guessing it would be hard to, you know, like, I imagine it would be a little more of a feeling of camaraderie, looking at each other wearily and going, yep, this is how it's going. How's it going? This is how it's going. Driving this Honda around all day. And a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, don't live here in San Francisco, that drive, that come here, drive into the city specifically to drive for Uber. Too, you know? Here are two more. These guys are old school. They've got the old logo up. Very nice. It's a lot of hybrids. Hybrid Camry over here. Prius over there. There's another Prius with the Uber sticker. The back of this one says Zango on it. X-A-N-G-O. I don't know what the fuck that is, but they got three Zango stickers on the back. Zango. Another Prius. It's a Hyundai Sonata. No, you have your signal on. Get in front of me or... Oh, you... I don't know what this is. It's an ILX. Is it a Peugeot? How's the Blitz machine? Running great. I saw someone playing it today. Looks like it's going well. I put the cover back on. No, I left the cage off it, and the back is still open. I might put that stuff back on, I guess. I don't know. Don't really have a reason to. Don't, you know, I've got room. See, I wish that this fucking Cadillac over here with the fucking hydraulics. I wish that had an Uber sticker on it. If I fucking called an Uber and this thing fucking hopped up to the curb, hit the three-wheel motion, I would be very excited. That's not a Peugeot, it's an Acura, right? Yeah, because this is a TLX, and that's an Acura. It's got the same logo on it. They changed the Acura badge at some point.
The world-famous Asia SF has dinner shows nightly, it says here on the side of Asia SF. We got new signs out front now. Very fancy. But it has, like, their reviews on, like, review services. It's like, 4.5 stars from Open Table. It's like, all right, well, that shit could change. I guess talking about educational discounts makes me wonder if it would be easy to sign up for a course at the local junior college. Just like find the cheapest course you could sign up for. Get your email address. Never go to the class. Because what do they care? You just enroll, fail it, whatever. And then use it to get educational discounts. Like, I wonder if you could make that work out in your favor financially. If you would get enough discounts. And free shit to offset the cost of the whatever units you were paying for. I had an email address at that junior college for a real long time that didn't go away immediately. But that was a very long time ago, before the whole idea of educational discounts based on you having an EDU address was, like, a thing. I just used it for some dial-up-ass internet, call in and download GIFs of naked people. Read news groups, internet stuff. But I bet you got into Facebook way earlier than most people. No, like by the time when I had an EDU address, there was no World Wide Web. Or there was just about to be a World Wide Web. I had that address. I was still in high school. And I got one. Because a friend of mine was going to the JC. And I said, dude, go sign up for this fucking email thing and then just tell me all the info. You're not going to use it. And so... yeah. So I was able to dial into their system and learn just enough fucking shell prompt dumb shit to find video games and
pornographies and
download it all at blistering 28.8 speeds. Actually, maybe I had a 56K modem by then. I'm trying to think, like, how that, what year, when that stuff all happened, but could have been 56K by then. And then, yeah, I don't know. I saw the World Wide Web for the first time in 1994. When I got a job at a magazine and we had, you know, dial-up internet. Well, maybe we just had fucking full-on... Maybe we had, like, actual internet there, now that I think about it. Whatever actual internet was then. And right around the same time, ISPs started, like, adapting... You eventually were able to dial into the internet and get on the web that way too, like through Windows as opposed to using just like a terminal program. And they had to like kind of emulate proper internet over dial-up via what they called PPP or SLIP. And I had a SLIP account. On my ISP, eventually, probably right around that same time, you could start using the graphical internet, which was a fucking... I'd like to say it was a mind-blower, but at the same time, it was just fucking slow as shit. Just web browsers of the day and all that stuff, like rendering pages, like just impossible to use. So I would still just dial up and just use regular-ass fucking text-based internet, because it was just faster. And I would, and just more reliable. The SLIP account would just fucking choke all the time. That stuff just, you know, and whatever. That stuff got cleaner and cleaner, better and better. And then I got a cable modem in like probably 96. Then I never lost a Quake ever again. It's not entirely true, but... But yeah, I don't know, using the internet on Windows 3.1 fucking sucked. Just like the WinSock stack and just all the different, all the shit you had to go through to get it working, the dialers and all that other stuff was just barely functional. By the time Windows 95 came out, that stuff was integrated a lot more cleanly and it just worked a little bit better. I have a box somewhere that has, like, I don't know, 30 floppies or something. And it's a pre-release build of Windows 95. Of, like, codename Chicago. I think it was, yeah. 95 was Chicago, right? I forget. But it's like running a pre-release build of 95. This thick-ass manual from Microsoft that came with it. Sometime in, like, 94... Yeah, it would have been 94, because I got it while I was working at that magazine. Early ass internet was fucking weird. Like when MP3s first came along, and it took me all night to encode one song on a 486. And it took up so much space, like that 3.5 megs, you're like, man, who would ever go and download a full album? That's ridiculous. Yeah, just rip the singles. Rip the fucking two songs you want to hear. Fuck the rest of this album. And I had my sweet setup. It was fucking awesome. I had this extra laptop that I wasn't doing anything with, so I just put as many MP3s on it as I could, installed a copy of WinPlay 3, and put it in my car with a power inverter that plugged it into the cigarette lighter and a tape deck adapter. And I had, like, I don't know, 200 songs on that laptop. Shit was fucked up. My friend Glenn eventually put, like, a PC in his car. This was probably a year or two after that. And he put a, like, he got a 10, like, just a keypad. You know, it was like a keyboard, but it was just the right side. It was just the number pad, the 10 key. And, Trumpet windsock, yes, exactly. He had it, like, there was a Winamp plug-in that you could just punch in numbers on the 10 key, and it would skip to that song in the playlist. So you had to build a Winamp playlist that was everything that you had. And then he had to memorize numbers. He was like, oh, 1276 is fucking this song, and this, it was just, you know, because there's no screen hooked up to the fucking thing. It was just the goofiest shit that we used to go through to fucking have a fucking lot of music. And of course, you know, like, you know, you'd burn CDs and record MP3s to tape or whatever if you wanted to, depending on what you had. I definitely burned a lot of CDs. But I was obsessed with MP3s in the car. I thought that was just the fucking, that was it, and it was going to be the future, and it was going to be the fucking baddest assist shit ever. And so I bought a Kenwood Z919, I think was the model number. It was out in Japan for like a year or maybe a little less, but it was out in Japan for a long time before finally coming out in the U.S., and it had this dot matrix display with this sweet fucking dolphin on it that would swim, and it would play CDs with MP3s burned to them. And, that was fucking cool. I got that, that was probably, by that point, that was probably like 99 or 2000 or something, by the time that thing came out. I still have the things in my garage. I took it out of my Mustang when I got rid of my Mustang and kept the deck. I don't know why. Sweet dolphins, that's why. And that was, I think that might have been the first MP3 CD deck that came out in the U.S., and that was cool because, you know, like, shit didn't skip. You know, it was reading the whole, like, the, you know, CDs would skip in the fucking car. But those MP3s were solid, man. You'd fucking load, they'd load all into memory, and that was that. Though if you hit a ton of potholes, eventually you could make MP3s skip as well. If you really got on a bumpy road for a long time. I lowered my car at one point, and it was cool because it was like the car was very stuck to the road, and like the handling was, you know, kind of more fun to drive, but man, you just felt every fucking bump. And that just sucked. But it looked good. I don't know. I guess I had that car and that deck until fucking what? Like, five years ago. When I bought another car. Unless I... Did I buy another fucking deck to... Oh, you know, no, I did buy another deck at some point. Because I needed one that would hook up to phones that would have, like, the old iPod adapter. I had to buy something like that. And then I could hook up my phone or an iPod in the car. That's right. That deck was not as cool. It did not have sweet dolphins that would swim across the interface, so not nearly as good. There was something, it was the dumbest name and also like a really expensive thing when you think about how MP3 technology went, but it was basically like a hard drive for your car, and Kenwood sold it, and it was called the Kenwood. Yes, we need the Kenwood. But then it was like, oh, well, I mean, or I could just hook up a fucking iPad. An iPod, rather. And also, like, the price for, like, the storage space in the Kenwood music keg was just fucking ridiculous. Because it was such a weird custom thing. They just charged a fucking $1 trillion for it. It's the dumbest. Like, hey, here's a 320 megabyte music keg for a grand, or, you know, whatever the fuck. So it's kind of cool that you can just kind of wirelessly connect your phone to a car stereo and play music that isn't even stored on the phone. It's pretty fucking neat, considering how this shit used to be. I guess that goes for everything, though. You think about how shit used to be, it's fucking crazy how capable shit is. Even the shit that's broken is still fucking crazy compared to how most of this shit used to be. like, ah, Windows 10 is so terrible, it's so hard, that building a PC is so difficult. I just think back, like, well, fucking try doing anything fucking truly wild on Windows 3.1.1 with the internet and such. And try building that machine. Long network cable. I want to run a cable around the edge of the room that it's in to get around to where a desk is. I'm trying to think. Radio Shack in town still. There's a Target right up here where the Best Buy that I used to go to all the time used to be. They might not have long shit. Best Buy would have long shit. There's one of those between here and home, but I really don't want to fucking go to that Best Buy because it's a pain in the ass to get to. Staples in town that would probably have that shit. All that stuff would be more expensive than it needs to be, but it would let me get this project done, which would be pretty good. don't think I will stop on my way home. Because I just want to get home. I really thought we were going to be done with the rain. Like, I wore shorts, like, multiple days this week, I think. Or this week and last week, maybe, but... hanging out in my blind spot for the last minute. There you go. Yeah, just pass me. Just fucking pass me. You don't need to do this. Now you're just gonna hang out right alongside me. Just fucking drive. Front of this fucker. There. Now what? shots were in for real. Damn. Fucking serious.
Stay on the floor, no phone call accepted. I flow the nicest. Fresh and improved look where the Gucci shoot. With multiple weapons in my new Gucci boots. The bank account that caught the Holy Ghost. I say the bank account that caught the Holy Ghost.
Rumor has it that he is 10 feet tall. This Dutchman is also part of the lineup for EDC Japan, and he's gonna smash the kinetic field on the Sunday. Get ready for 30 minutes of fire from Afrojack.
Yo, what's up, squad? How you been, buddy? This Afrojack, thank you so much for inviting me to Night Owl Radio. I can't wait to be back in Tokyo partying under the electric sky with all of the beautiful headliners. So for the next half hour, I put together a special mix, which is going to preview some tracks that you might hear me play there. See you later. Peace.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. P1 cleaner than your church shoes. Nelly point two just to hurt you. All red lamps to tease you. None of these toys only to
a year. And that's, it's just crazy.
Well, you look at it, Robbie, you watch us talk about it coming in. We had to fire up the way back. That's what we had to do.
VHS?
Yeah, what's that?
VHS?
No, the Wayback Machine, man. We had to get in a time machine. If you ever seen, it was a Peabody, what was it? Peabody and Sherman, the movie. When you have kids.
Now we're going way back.
Peabody and Sherman.
When you have kids, you'll understand that. We had to fire up the Wayback and get it here. Let me show you the first ride ever. Glary Marching. Here it is. This is all the
way. Talk about a little Bullwinkle stuff during the rodeo, you know.
Looks like a lot of fun.
This is pretty much exactly what you see today, yes. Glary. This bull was absolutely treacherous, but you see the same effort. You know, he consistently puts out that effort every time.
Get that number on his vest, 102, no sponsors. You can't speak. Ty is on the call right there. You can't even pronounce the name at all. Ty is completely lost, and now arguably, and I will say arguably, not one of the greatest, but... Oh, man.
He's easily
one of the greatest. Easily one of the greatest. I'm going a step farther than that. How great? I mean, where do you rank him amongst the Justin McBrides, the Alves, the Shivers?
Come on.
But they have the world titles. They've got the buckles on the platform. And when you get into this MVP conversation and other sports, that is ultimately what matters.
He's kind of like Dan Marino.
Yeah.
In a way. But he got one title. But it's hard to say he's the greatest.
There are people that would say Dan Marino was the greatest, and that's what I'm getting at. I'm not going there, but there are people that would make that argument that Dan Marino is the greatest. You can't say he's greater than Tom Brady, but there are people that will make that argument, whether they're right or wrong. I'm just saying, please no one make no mistake of how fantastically good and incredible this guy is and has been.
Absolutely. He's a hero to every rider in the locker room, every rider growing up watching TV, watching bull riding, and just learning how to do this sport. And he is a legend to the sport of bull riding. I mean, he will go down in history. And you're right. He will say, so many people will say, Glary Marchand is the greatest bull rider ever, over Justin McBride, over Tom, or everybody. But it's just everybody's own opinion, and I think he probably is one.
He's this close. He's this close to having four world titles.
Yeah. If he has one more title, it's probably a much easier conversation to say he's probably the greatest of all time. Because, look, no one else other than Mike Lee may ever get 600 rides. And Marchie's thinking maybe 700 is possible. And if he gets 700 rides, my goodness, this record may never... In the PBR, it's probably harder to break than Bushwhacker's streak, than the three world titles. I'm not sure if we'll see someone
Luke and Butch on a bull. I'd watch that.
When you look at the guys that are nipping at his feet, well, not really nipping at his feet, they're way back. 500 rides. JB's coming up on that. Mike Lee has surpassed that. Did it here in Billings. But you're looking at two individuals that seem a little bit hurt, seem a little bit towards the end of their career.
It's going to be an interesting conversation, a topic that we'll talk about, I'm sure, more this weekend and the rest of the year. Got a minute left here in this segment. Got to bring up the fact, the young man, the hero here, Jess Lockwood. Remember rolling into this event last year, 18 years old, won his very first Billboard Tough Series event. Here's Jess Lockwood on action. This is modified Clyde Colby Yates.
This was a great bull round. This is whenever he lit the place up. Jess.
That the mantle homer would have traveled 565 feet before coming to a rest in a yard across the way. Over the years, that distance has been questioned. Using modern science, the distance has now been pegged at 510 feet, still an impressive feat. Some have claimed that Mantle once launched one even further at Yankee Stadium on May 22, 1963, against the Kansas City A's. Mantle said it was the hardest ball he ever hit. Those in the know say if it hadn't hit the stadium facade, it would have traveled 734 feet. Others estimate a more reasonable 620 feet for that mammoth shot. We'll never know. Mantle hit the facade at least two other times during his storied career. That home run against the A's was in the 11th inning and won the game 8-7 for the Yanks. The original Yankee power hitter was none other than Babe Ruth, and he regularly blasted home runs 475 feet and over in length. June 8, 1926 in Detroit, It is claimed the Sultan of Swat lived up to the name with a moon launch that traveled 600 feet. That figure is called into question due to the propensity of newspaper reporters at the time to exaggerate blasts for maximum effect. That home run has been estimated to have traveled 500 feet. No doubt still a sight to behold. For it happened in baseball. I'm Nick Kern.
It's non-stop college football on SiriusXM.
Knocks your score right out of the 700 club. Listen, there's a better way. Next time, go to Credit Karma and check out.
It's getting bigger. I'm paranoid sweeping with my finger off the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating. And blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching me act. But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning lover. He owns a black hat like I own. A black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say, take a chill, beat. But I can't see, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the grip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds, got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for tracks. Check my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you.
What should you do when someone offers you drugs?
I suppose we have to register you as the lethal weapon.
Counting down the biggest hits this week in 1986. Hosted by the original MTV VJs.
Hey, this is Alan Hunter.
This is Ian Blackley.
I'm Mark Goodman.
I'm sorry.
It was the biggest chart hit for Nights of Reb. Join in the chant off their debut album, That Total Age, came out back in 1987. Here's one from a year earlier on Dave Kendall's Party 360, it's Love and Rockets.
Alternative and grunge, note by note. This is Lithium on Sirius XM.
All right. My arm hurts. It's very strange. I'm home. Everybody have a good weekend. And, you know, I'll see you soon.